Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson in the Riser zone of drum and bass production, and we're going to do something very jungle specific, stretching the snap of a snare until it turns into a dark atmospheric riser. And just to set the vibe correctly, in deep jungle and DNB, the snare snap isn't just a transient, it's identity. So instead of reaching for a generic noise whoosh, we're going to weaponize that crack and early air, stretch it, smear it, pitch it, and turn it into tension that still sounds like it came from a break. By the end, you'll have a mix-ready riser built from one snare hit, with a playable rack, a core snap chain that keeps the jungle fingerprint, a fog chain for space, and a resonant tension chain that climbs into the drop without wrecking your break bus. Alright, step 0, choosing the right snare, because this actually matters more than any plugin. You want a snare with a strong crack in the 2 to 6 kHz region, and you want some noise or air after the transient. Not just a clean synthetic pop. Amen family snares work great, but any snare with real texture will do. Here's the mindset. You're not stretching audio to fix it. You're a stretching character. Start with a snare that already speaks your track's language. Now step 1. Isolate and stretch the snap. With warp done properly, drop the snare onto an audio track. Double-click the clip so you're in clip view, and turn warp on. For warp mode, you've got two main flavors. Complex Pro is smoother and can feel more cinematic atmosphere. Texture is often the winner for jungle because it gives you that grainy haze, like the audio is breaking apart in a good way. Let's start with texture. Set grain size somewhere around 20 to 40 milliseconds. Smaller grain sizes get buzzier and rougher. Then flux around 10 to 25%. Flux adds motion, but it can get unstable fast, so keep it tasteful. Now the key move. Treat the transient like a sync marker, not like something you stretch. Zoom in. The very first spike, that initial crack, you want to keep basically untouched. Even 5 to 15 milliseconds makes a difference. If you stretch the transient itself, you get that watery time stretch plugin signature, and the jungle identity disappears. So place a warp marker right after the transient peak. Then place a second marker, where the noisy snap and early air ends. Now stretch only that region. Grab the second marker, and drag it so that section becomes, say, 300 milliseconds up to even 1200 milliseconds, depending on how long your riser needs to breathe. What you should hear now is crack, then an elongated airy smear. Still recognizably a snare, but it's starting to behave like an atmosphere. Quick coach note, if your snare came from a break that was sampled around, say, 160 BPM, and your track is 174 to 176, you can get better results if you temporarily set the project tempo closer to the source, do the stretching work there, then print it, and only after that bring your project tempo back up. It often preserves that break-derived feel and reduces synthetic artifacts. Now step 2, resample into a clean riser asset. Commit early. This is where advanced workflow starts paying off. Create a new audio track and name it Snare Riser Print. Set its input to resampling. Solo your snare track and record a few versions. Print a half-bar version for fast tension, a 1-bar version for standard pre-drop, and a 2-bar version for breakdown exits. Don't overthink it. You're creating a folder of options you can audition in seconds. Now you've got a printed riser sample that you can warp again, slice, reverse parts of it, and automate cleanly without your whole set turning into a science experiment. Step 3. Build the riser rack. This is an audio effect rack with 3 chains. On your printed riser track, drop an audio effect rack. Create 3 chains and name them Snap Core, Atmosphere Smear, and Tension Whistle. First chain, Snap Core. This keeps the jungle identity, so the riser still feels snare-coded, not like a generic effect. Put EQ8 first. High pass around 120 to 180 Hz. 12 or 24 dB slope. If it's boxy, dip a bit around 300 to 500 Hz. If you lost bite during stretching, a gentle lift at 3 to 5 kHz can bring the crack back. Then add drum bus. Drive around 5 to 15%, crunch around 5 to 20. Transients plus 5 to plus 20, but careful. We want impact, not a click that stabs you in the ear. Then add saturator. Analog clip mode. Drive 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip on. This is your controlled aggression layer. Second chain. Atmosphere smear. This is the fog. This is the jungle mist. Start with hybrid reverb. Choose a hall or a shimmerish vibe, but keep it dark. Size around 70 to 110, decay 3 to 10 seconds depending on how long the riser is. Add pre-delay, like 10 to 25 milliseconds. so the snap stays readable and the reverb doesn't swallow it immediately. Then in hybrid reverb's EQ or color section, roll off the highs above about 7 to 10 kHz. This is one of the biggest differences between deep jungle atmosphere and trance Y bright wash. Dark space is filtered space. After that, add auto filter. Set it to low pass 24 dB. Add a bit of drive, 2 to 5. Set the starting cutoff somewhere around 400 to 800 Hz. This filter is going to open over time, so your fog blooms toward the drop. Then add echo. Try 1/8 dotted or 1/16 for timing, feedback 15 to 35%, and keep the echo filters dark, high pass around 200 Hz, low pass around 6 to 8 kHz. Third chain. Tension whistle. This is the controlled resonant rise that gives you that something's coming pressure. Put auto filter set to band pass or high pass, with resonance around 40 to 70%. This is not subtle, but you'll control it. Then add corpus, which is underrated for jungle tension. Try tube or beam mode. Decay around 0.8 to 2.5 seconds. And later, we'll automate the tuning slightly upward. Then add utility. Keep width at 0 to 50%. Teacher tip here, the more resonant and whistle-like a layer is, the more you want mono discipline. Wide resonant filters can feel impressive in headphones and then turn to mush in a club. Now step 4. Macro controls. So this becomes playable instead of a one-off. Map a macro called rise filter to the cutoff of your fog chain filter, and optionally the tension chain filter too. Map reverb size and reverb decay to hybrid reverb size and decay. Map pitch rise either to clip transpose, or if you prefer, leave pitch alone for a second and map it later using shifter or frequency shifter. If you're still using warp on the printed clip, map grain size and flux so you can dial the texture in context. Map tension amount to the chain volume for tension whistle. Map snap bite to drum bus transients on the core chain. Map stereo fob to either hybrid reverb width or a utility width after your fog chain. And finally, map output trim to utility gain after the rack, because risers love to get louder than you think. Little gain staging note. Before hybrid reverb and echo, aim for peaks around minus 12 to minus 6 dBFS. Reverb behaves better, resonance behaves better, and your automation won't suddenly create harsh peaks when filter and pitch start moving together. Now step 5, pitch movement. This is where it starts to feel like real jungle tension instead of a long snare. Option 1 is clip transpose automation. In arrangement view, automate the clip transpose from 0 up to plus 7 semitones, or even plus 12 if you want it dramatic. If it gets chipmunky, keep the rise modest, like 0 to plus 5, and tame some top end. Option 2 is darker, frequency shifting. Put shifter, or frequency shifter if that's what you've got available, after the rack. Use freak shift mode. Automate from 0 Hz up to plus 200 Hz, or up to 400 if you want intense, and keep mix around 20 to 60% for a parallel vibe. This approach keeps the timbre ominous. It doesn't turn into cartoon pitch, it turns into science lab tension. And here's a pro automation tip. Don't do straight linear ramps. Use an S-curve. Slow at the start, faster in the middle, then slow again near the end. Linear ramps often feel EDM obvious. S-curves feel like natural pressure building. Now step 6, arranging it like real DNB, where it actually lives in the track. For a classic 1-bar pre-drop riser, start at 1 bar before the drop. Let the filter open and the reverb grow. In the last 8th note, do a quick echo throw, and do a quick low cut so the impact feels clean. For a 2-bar breakdown exit, begin sparse with mostly fog chain. Gradually bring in the snap core so the ear remembers the snare identity. Then let the tension whistle peak near the end, and hard cut into drums. For a fill riser into a snare flam, place the riser on beat 4, then on the downbeat layer a clean snare plus a break hit, and sidechain the riser so it doesn't steel punch. Step 7. Glue it into the mix with sidechain and headroom. After the rack, add a compressor. Enable sidechain from your kick or drum bus. Ratio 2:1:4:1, attack 5 to 15 milliseconds, release 80 to 200 milliseconds. Aim for about 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction near the peak of the riser. The reason is simple. The riser creates pressure, but the drop owns the transients. You're making space for authority. Now, common mistakes to avoid. First, overstretching without controlling grain. That's when you get watery artifacts that scream time stretch algorithm instead of jungle haze. Second, too much top-end reverb. Bright, fizzy tails make it sound like trance. Dark jungle space is filtered and mid-focused. Third, no transient anchor. If you smear everything, it stops feeling like a snare-based riser, and it loses that coded meaning right before the drop. Fourth, stereo chaos. Wide reverbs plus resonant filters can wreck mono compatibility. Keep low content centered, especially below roughly 180 to 250 Hz. Clubs punish wide low mid reverb. And fifth, not printing versions. Advanced production is committing and auditioning variations fast. Now let's level up with a few advanced variations you can try once the basic rack is working. 1. A two-stage rise, like a gear change. For the first 60 to 70%, slow filter opening and subtle pitch. For the last 30 to 40%, accelerate pitch and tighten the band pass so it locks into the drop. It feels like a story rather than one long ramp. 2. The inverse riser, the suck and snap. Reverse only the stretched air portion. Keep the initial crack forward. Crossfade 2 to 10 milliseconds so it doesn't click. It gives vacuum without losing the snare identity. 3. Parallel time bass contrast. Keep the core chain fairly dry, but set echo in the fog chain to 1/8 dotted, and set modulation or movement in the tension chain at 1/16, or vice versa. That rhythmic disagreement creates motion without adding extra layers. And here are a couple sound design extras if you want to get really textural. You can create air grit with noise gated to the snap. Add a noise source, gate it using sidechain from your riser, high pass the noise at 2 to 4 kHz, and feed only that into the fog chain. Now the hiss follows that articulation of the snap, which feels incredibly alive.